You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us. Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Joanne Liu, international doctor, president of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, the kind of thoughtful leaders that our students here are being exposed to. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Susie York, CEO of Love Good Fats, a company pioneering a new way of eating. Thank you for joining us today, Susie.
Well, thank you, Professor Moore. I'm pleased to be here.
Tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up and what did your family do back in the day?
Well, I'm very pleased to say I grew up in Montreal, a little French-Canadian girl with my twin brother. And I grew up in Quebec City, Montreal, and came to McGill. And my parents were both hardworking. One was a government worker and a pilot, and my mom was a secretary.
So you speak in French then?
Oui, je suis francophone.
No, but it's some of your English, maybe it's too many years in Toronto, but your English is very much like a Toronto English, if you would.
It is.
Clearly, you're a leader today. When did you first think of yourself as a leader? Was it back in elementary or high school or at McGill? When did you say to yourself, maybe I'm a leader?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes there's a lot of years of self-doubt, and I think often I might not have seen myself as much of a leader that I was, but I started having some feelings of, you know, wanting to make a difference and wanting to step up and do something and take a lead in something. Really in elementary school, in high school, I took some leadership positions. In university, I ran a business. And I also even kind of aspired to do a long distance and do Ironman races. And I think deep inside, that was also to inspire, to show that I could do it, but also kind of model that it's doable with a full-time job. And it was all kind of inside me.
So what is a leader from your mind, Susie? I mean, you are one. It's perhaps unfair to ask you, but what is leadership in your thinking?
Oh, the definition of leadership is often quite a subject of debate. I think today what I would see is it's a combination of having a vision and having the ability to inspire people around that vision. I think that was a textbook that I learned, you know, 30 years ago. But to me, it kind of has come true again and again, because not only have I had the vision and the goal to step into something bigger than whatever I was doing, but then once I stepped into it, whether it was, you know, sports and Ironman to my VP roles to then starting a company, I kind of was able to rally and inspire people around me, including inspiring myself, because sometimes I had that self-doubt, that it's possible. And just take one step at a time and it comes together.
What did you study at university?
Electrical engineering.
We'll talk about your career in a moment, but you know, going to the craft and companies like that and being an entrepreneur, electrical engineering does not come to mind right away.
No, I was an experiment. Procter & Gamble hired me in 1990, and I was the first non-business grad hired. So I had just an engineering degree, and the experiment worked out well. I stayed there for a while, and they proceeded to hire several other engineers and even a history grad after me. So it worked out.
When you think about your engineer, what does that bring to your job today? What is the strengths, and this is behalf of the engineering school, evidently, but what is it that an engineer brings from their training to what you do today?
Well, what's particular about me is I have the left brain and the right brain. I obviously have a lot of the consumer insights and kind of the understanding of what the grasp of what could be a trend and what kind of makes sense and what connects with consumers. I have all that side. What helped me really early in my career right away at P&G in the first couple months is my ability to model everything in my head, you know, after 4 years of electrical. So I was very, very strong in math, but mostly in modeling and kind of solving these complex business problems that are simple compared to engineering problems, but still complex because the answer is often gray. And I just had a really fast start because of how my mind works. I've since learned in the last 2 years that I'm actually on the autism spectrum. So I didn't, you know, I spent 50 years not knowing that, but I've been diagnosed a few times now. And I think that's all kind of connected to my grasp of numbers and my ability to see through the complexity.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm sitting down with Susie York, CEO and co-founder of Love Good Fats. We'll get back to what that title means in a moment or two. In some ways, you were kind of a poster child for diversity, but it wasn't about race or whatever. It was about an engineer simply looks at the world a bit differently.
Yep.
So when you think of diversity, we obviously think gender and race is the most important, yep. But what other kind of diversities come to your mind?
Well, the diversity of thought and of culture were two that I took into my first job, and I really stood out. You know, I was a fish out of water. I mean, I spoke French. I barely spoke English. My brain thought in French, so I didn't have the business background. I didn't know what Nielsen share reports were or all the basics, and I came from a French Quebec culture, and I went to a big, you know, Anglo head office in Toronto that wasn't as in tune at that time with the Quebec market and the Quebec culture, the French culture. So, you know, being able to approach problems from different ways and from a diverse aspect. I'm also part of the LGBTQT, so I have several diverse hats that I'm wearing today at 54.
At times, did you say, boy, what are they thinking in this? Like, you'd be in meetings where you go, what are they thinking?
Many, many times. My first 2 years were really hard, and mostly because of the cultural mismatch between the traditional, you know, 40 years of business marketing, this is the P&G model, to my life in Quebec as a young Francophone. But you know, part that's, I think I brought a lot to the equation, and I was able to lead some teams and some initiatives to help the company build market share with their brands in Quebec. And it really kind of helped me also stretch my thinking in terms of a different outlook.
You're an entrepreneur today. You were a corporate type for decades. What is the difference, the mind of the entrepreneur, the mind of the lifetime corporate person? Because unusually, you're both. You didn't see yourself an entrepreneur at age 12, as some people do. What's the difference in the mindset?
Yeah, there's a big, big difference. So I dreamed at age 15, and I told my mom, like, one day I'll run my own company. But it took me 25 years to actually do it. So I didn't have that DNA of entrepreneurs that at, you know, age 17 or 21, they take that leap. I did have what's called, like, now coined intrapreneur. So I would go to the larger companies, I'd say 6 and 4 years, sometimes 2 years, and I would solve the problem that was to be solved. So I was hired because this brand was declining, Weight Watchers was declining, and Downy was declining, and Doritos was declining. And I would solve the problem by going through the business, you know, go through a business review and marketing plans and understand what the issues are and put the right brand plans together. And new campaigns and innovation and all that good stuff. But I inside, I was also then getting pretty bored because I wanted to figure out what's the next big problem to solve. So I knew I had it inside of me, and then I hit mid-40s, and I had my last VP job. I knew, I just said, this is my last VP job, and then when it phased out post the recession, I was like, okay, now I'll do consulting. But it was just in between while I come up with my business idea. So it's kind of like it was all mapped out already. And it just fell into place.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm sitting down with Susie York, CEO and co-founder of Love Good Fats. Some entrepreneurs have ideas all the time. I've had one in my lifetime and I didn't do anything about it. So you're not the kind of entrepreneur just looking around has ideas every day. How did you come up with your idea, and how long did it take?
Well, I think one of the characteristics is I was always bustling with ideas of, no one's ever thought about this, why don't we do this? Oh, there's a big kind of opportunity there. But it was always in the framework of the companies that I was in, or like the sports that I was doing, running and biking. So I know that, you know, if you have that in you, there's kind of some, you listen to that voice. Then I decided mid-40s that I would do consulting to come up with an idea. So I went through a formal process of like, okay, now I have to have three things. I have to have money, I have to have an idea, and I have to have time. So my kids were a bit older. I'd saved some money with consulting. Not that much, because I was a single mom for 10 years living in Toronto and paying a mortgage. And then I just read a book, and then I saw, like, immediately I read the book and I saw that the next big trend is going to be around low fat and low sugar and good fats. And that was it. That's all I needed to, once I had that spark of that insight, I knew I had something.
Tell us about Love Good Fats, Susie. What's it all about?
Well, Love Good Fats is a new brand that was launched just 4 years ago in Canada, and it's a beacon brand to share the message that fats are good and sugar really is the culprit. So it's a line right now of snacks that are loaded with good fats, very low in sugar, 1 to 2 grams, so they're keto-friendly, they're low-carb, they're gluten-free, non-GMO project verified, responsibly sourced, the whole long list of clean ingredients, and they taste really, really, really good.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Susie York from Love Good Fats. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series. Next up, we'll talk, what exactly is Love Good Fat? I love the title of the company and how it's redefining the food industry.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Susie York, CEO of Love Good Fats from Toronto. Where did you get the idea for this from? You mentioned a book earlier. What was the book, and how did it lead you to this?
So the book I read in 2016 is The Big Fat Surprise by Nina Teicholz. She's an international journalistic investigator. And she spent 9 years looking at the science around why, the science that would explain why fats were supposedly the culprit, and realized that was a lot of misinformation. So reading through all of the analysis of all the clinicals and 50 years of research, her book basically shows the way that fats are essential and they're good. And the culprit in that one study 50 years ago was sugar, and it was just misinterpreted to be fats.
So there was a little science, and people had kind of misinterpreted it and read too much into it. So sugar is, when you look at it from a viewpoint of how human beings have evolved, why are fats more important and necessary than sugar? What's the history of that from how we are as people?
Well, historically, I mean, fats are called essentially fatty acids because you're, from a macronutrient perspective, your body cannot live without fats. So even though I followed a low-fat diet for 20 years, the nutrients needed for the brain and for your liver and for your source of energy comes from the ketones, which are produced from your liver from eating a lot of good fats and not eating sugar or all the forms of sugar, glucose, fructose, agave, etc. We've not ever biologically needed sugar. There was a lot of misconception that sugar gives you energy. So even back when I was racing, you had to eat and drink sugar. And that's all been demystified. You know, you really do need essential amino acids, essential fatty acids, but you could you can do very well with very, very low amount of carbohydrates and sugar.
So you read the book, How long till you said, I'm going to start a company around this?
Oh, I put the book down and I was at the Natural Product Expo West show in Anaheim, so the largest show in the world for natural products, and I was on a mission. I walked the show. You can never walk the entire show because it's too big. And I'm like, okay, I got to see if someone else has read the book, if someone else has a little table somewhere. And on to the same thing. And lo and behold, there was two brands there. So I got a little bit nervous. There was two brands that had the word fats in their title. One was body cream and one was animal something. So I wasn't too worried. No one had kind of a good fats brand because I wanted a food brand that will, you know, be across the stores across North America, and by sheer kind of size and name and message and taste and delight will change how people think about fats.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Today I'm sitting down with Susie York, CEO and co-founder of Love Good Fats, one of the finest company names I've heard in a long time. It strikes me as what you've done is an incredible thing, but it partly because you were at big food companies with big jobs. What food companies did you work for briefly?
So I started at Procter & Gamble. They had quite a bit of food brands back then before they spinned off those brands, but I didn't work on food brands. My first food company was PepsiCo with Frito-Lay Canada, and I launched Tostitos into Canada, and I worked on Doritos, so they're two big tortilla brands. I also worked on the Better For You portfolio, which back then was low-fat chips, if you can imagine that. That was their Better For You portfolio. It was a small percentage of the business, but my job was to grow it. And then I got an opportunity to go work at Heinz. So Heinz portfolio of ketchup and sauces had been declining for 10 years, and they wanted like a marketer such as myself that had two good, you know, blue chip tier ones under her belt. And that was a big promotion. And I got a chance to work on all the ketchup and the sauces portfolios, including Diana Sauce, which was a recently acquired brand. So that was very good. And then I worked at Weight Watchers for 4 years. Again, the food portfolio is a big chunk of the business, but it's sold in meetings. So I've had a lot of food experience.
Very senior food experience, mm-hmm. with some of the biggest name, most professional companies, mm-hmm. in their better moments. Yeah. This sets you apart from the average entrepreneur in the food space out there. Like when you show up, few have your background. And this is... Well, the negative is you're older, mm-hmm. than you would be otherwise. The positive is incredibly rich experience.
Yeah, and that's certainly helped me have a fast start. You know, I was able to do everything from writing the strat plan, writing the board decks, doing the 3-year, 1-year P&Ls. Like the first 2 years, I pretty much did everything. But also all the consumer research. You know, I've probably myself consumer tested consumer research over 1,000 brand ideas between innovation and main brands. So it really allowed me to very quickly know that I was onto something and then optimize it. And then once we launched the first two quote prototypes, you know, the first two bars, quick evolve. So I was able to attract, you know, a team around and attract funding. So definitely a lot of advantages to cutting my teeth in CPG.
Recently, you were on the cover of ROB magazine, the business magazine of the Globe and Mail. How big a deal is that?
Oh, that's my pride and joy. So the Globe and Mail is certainly our national newspaper. Report on Business is a very proud place to celebrate any business accomplishments. I've been hoping to try to at least get a little feature in the Globe in the last 4 years, and I hadn't had that yet. And then, you know, boom, like we applied to the top growing companies in Canada and we came in first place. So certainly, that's kind of a high point of my career, for sure.
Have you got a lot of emails and stuff like that from old friends just saying congratulations?
Oh, yes. Certainly, I mean, I have a big following on LinkedIn, and I, you know, I hope everyone who listens just find me on LinkedIn, Susie York, pretty easy to find. And it's been wonderful. I've reconnected with hundreds and hundreds of former coworkers for the last 30 years, and everyone just finds me, usually on LinkedIn. And certainly a lot of people seem to have the Report on Business app on their phone or to read the magazine. So it's been an exciting couple weeks.
Think about social media, LinkedIn. You mentioned you were in my class and then hundreds of likes. Like, I just very impressed by that. We were talking earlier about Instagram and TikTok. Where's the future of social media, do you think?
Well, I'm a big fan of Gary Vee in terms of kind of being leading edge with social media. And I adore TikTok. YouTube is also incredibly powerful. So even though the mediums we use to launch Love Good Fats are more Facebook and Instagram because they have the large search engine and ability to convert to get a ROAS revenue, I think TikTok and YouTube are where the world is going to.
In just 4 years, you're already doing over $100 million in sales. I mean, that's probably why you were on the cover of ROB. What's your secret? How do you drive such great growth?
Well, certainly the speed of which we grew from 100,000 to 8.2 million to 47 million in the first 2 years and a bit is unprecedented. And I think there's a lot of food brands that are launched in Canada and the US. And in Canada, when you get to a million the first year, or whenever you get to a million, you celebrate. When you get to 2 million, you celebrate. When you get to five, you know you have a good sustainable brand in Canada. And we got to eight in our first 12 months, and then 47 with a little bit of US volume the second year. And it's definitely, extraordinary and unprecedented. And it's a combination of the product was first to market, unique taste, truffle-like texture, just melts in your mouth, very different, loaded with, good stuff and just a tiny bit of sugar. And then the massive consumer trend that was, where consumers are looking for low sugar options and then keto options after I launched. So it's just, the right brand at the right time.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Susie York, CEO of Love Good Fats. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about how to do strategy in a startup like Love Good Fats and what Susie has learned over the years about this.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Susie York, CEO and founder of Love Good Fats. In class the other day, your daughter was there, and you were talking about how at times you'd call her in tears because it was not working. What was not working, and how did you find your way out of that?
Well, certainly the biggest challenge, there's many challenges when you start a company. The biggest challenge was I had a vision and I had a positioning and I had a product brief for a product and a brand that was loaded with good fats and had a good amount of protein and fiber, but very little to no carbohydrates and sugars. So I had 30 different co-manufacturing companies tell me that's not possible. You need a binder. You need to bind the fat to something. And usually it's sugar, because that's what a chocolate bar is. And I was like, no. So the challenges were immense. We went through 80 different recipes. When I finally did get a co-packer that would spend some time with me and give me a chance, we had to do 80 different recipes, and they were melting all over the place. I would put some bars in my pack sack and go to an investor meeting and be at Starbucks. And if it was a bit warm by the end of the meeting, there was a puddle in front of me. And I was just like, oh my goodness. But we found a way to kind of get the right ratios, the right ingredients, the right percentages. And then we had a full up production booked because we were listed at Whole Foods and the other natural banners in Canada. And they were all waiting for the first production and for samples. And we spent a whole day at the plant and were unable to make the product stick together. It was either sludge out of the machines or it was all dry. So I had to drive back to Toronto with an empty van and go to a plan B to try to find someone else who would be able to make the bars.
In terms of financing a business like this, you know, at the beginning it's your savings, spending your daughter's savings, yep, you know, and that sort of thing. What other kind of financing did you get eventually?
Well, the startup model is pretty much the same, it seems, for new Canadian food brands anyway. You start with your own money and then friends and family money and your credit cards, and you stretch it as much as you can with that network. You know, no bank will give you a loan until you have some revenue, and even that, you know, to get loans or debt, you really have to have revenue and ideally be profit positive. So I kept going. I did 5 rounds of angel money. It's called friends and family, but it's mostly acquaintances because I didn't have, you know, rich enough friends or family. But it's through networking, and you have, you know, small investors who want to support your idea. And also, you know, in the hopes that also that not only will you be successful, but you'll have a nice return, because these are the type of startups that if you invest early on, you can really have a big return relative to just investing on the street.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm sitting down with Susie York, CEO and co-founder of Love Good Fats. The pandemic, when it came along kind of in March, was there a day you go, we're going to have to shut it down? Or was there a day of going, what's the future going to hold for us?
Yeah, the pandemic came really fast, but we, between myself and one of the board members, moved really, really quickly. We thought that it could be, you know, much bigger and broader reaching. I think March 6 on that Sunday, I pulled the management team together for a 2-hour strat meeting on a Sunday. On the Monday, on that day, we made the decision to not go to the Expo West. All our flights were booked. I was flying out the next morning. The show was starting the Wednesday. And then on the Thursday, we closed the office. So it moved really, really quickly right at the end of February. We had a, you know, 5-pronged strategies: protect our employees, protect our brand, protect our cash flow, protect our supply chain, and protect the big building blocks, the revenue building blocks we had in place, so that we could kind of manage through. It worked out really well. You know, we did a fast pivot on the raise. We raised our largest raise ever, and was a Series A at $11 million. And we had to move fast. We had to make changes with RBC, but we're very fortunate that our shareholders and new shareholders believed in the brand, and everyone wanted us to not get caught up in the swirl of the pandemic. Many, many small companies simply ran out of cash. So every week we hear about another brand that's not made it and shutting down. So I think we had very strong support for this incredible new young brand where, you know, cash is king. And you know, we also put plans in place. We downsized, we cut some expenses, we changed reduced our marketing plans because the world in stores changed a lot. So it's certainly been very taxing for all startups. We're in the bars business, so on the go. So we got hit, this category got hit really hard. And then the weight management, keto, got hit initially for the first year. People just started eating banana breads and home-baked everything. And now it's starting to come back where, you know, the reality is you need to eat healthy. You need to cut out sugar and carbs. And people are starting to move again. So we're seeing the light.
One of the big things was to break into the massive U.S. market. And you're with some of the bigger retailers.
Yep.
Tell us about that. How did that happen?
Well, our results in Canada were so phenomenal. We were selling at rates and velocities that were exceeding the number one and two selling SKUs by milestones. We were shattering records. Every new retailer we went, within weeks and months, they would tell us, wow, like they would look at the velocities and they would say, bring more, bring more, bring more. And then we would bring more. So we went from 2 to 10 flavors of the bars. So certainly the phones started ringing because the retailers that have a head office in the U.S. were looking at these numbers up in Canada, and they're like, whoa, you know, what's in their water up there? How come this brand is selling so much? We want them to come see us. So I got a lot of phone calls, a lot of invitation to present to the U.S. And our you know, our numbers were so strong in 18 and 19 that even though it's a risk to launch in the U.S., there's a lot of very strong Canadian brands that have tried many times and have not succeeded yet. It was a calculated risk that seemed to be very, very acceptable. We had the right team and we had the right brand. We had the right consumer understanding. So we took, you know, a calculated risk to launch in the U.S., but the pandemic hit pretty much month, you know, March. So month two or three into our first, you know, January was the start of the bar season when we were on the shelf.
So you're in the U.S., you're in, who is it, with the big company or with?
We launched right away. We got listed at the Whole Foods, the natural stores like Sprouts, the Walmarts, the Krogers, most of the larger banners, not club right off the bat, but most of the larger banners. So we're fortunate to get in to very quickly. I think it's 16,000 doors. And that's a big risk. You know, you're stretching your brand, your new kind of baby brand across a lot of doors. The plan was to fuel the velocity similar to Canada. And you know, with COVID putting pressure on many brands, just, you know, slowed down their innovation or withdrew, certainly cut the marketing spend. The in-store shopping got reduced. The flyers got canceled. So we had to put a bit of a brake on the amount of investment we had planned to drive awareness and trial. And that slowed down our launch, obviously. So it's just been a lot of challenging times to launch in a pandemic, that's for sure.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Susie York, CEO of Love Good Fats. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about being a female founder with Susie York.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Susie York, CEO and founder of Love Good Fats. You're a female founder, and that's been a challenge in the past. What advice would you have for other female entrepreneurs and founders?
Well, the advice I have is to just jump in, and if you have a good idea, definitely don't let the fact that, you know, you're a female founder kind of be a barrier to that. That being said, the statistics are still really challenging, from women on boards being 7 to 11%, depending on Canada, U.S. The amount of VC funding, so venture capitalist funding, to women founders is only 5% still today. There's a lot of good initiatives. You know, Arlene Dickinson is pushing the support for founders in Canada, and in particular female founders. But it's not easy out there. You know, you're in a world where the support is still very skewed and driven by companies that are led by men, and the money is coming from companies that are led by men. The majority of executives in CPG is still men. So you are stepping into a world where part of the support you will need is still men. However, what I've heard a lot, and what was true for me, is it forces the female founder to work pretty darn hard to get your proof of concept, to get the numbers turning, because the potential investors invest in both the brand idea and the founder, usually. And so you work extra hard to make sure your results are very strong, so that enables a lot of success in raising funds, which you need.
How do you do strategy at Love Good Fats? Is it coming essentially from your fertile imagination, or is there other people having input to strategy?
Well, the first like 2-3 years was a small team. So I was myself with a couple of VPs, and then a couple of sales folks, and then we grew very quickly, and we have a board. But certainly, like most startups that I'm familiar with, you know, the strategic direction of the brand comes from the brand expert. So I happen to be a founder who's a brand expert, and I happen to have been immersed, and I've I've engaged with over 40,000 consumers just in the last 4 years. So I kind of wear a lot of the hats, the CEO hats and the chief brand contact, and also, you know, like really close to understanding where the trends are. So in our case, a lot of the innovation and the evolution of the packaging and the product and the current innovation plan kind of comes from, you know, laying out a strategic framework for innovation, which I've laid out, and then a lot of good work with the team, and then we pull it all together as we gather information together.
How many types of bars do you have, and where can Canadians buy them?
Well, our bars are available and sold at most of the large national retailers, so Loblaws and Sobeys and Metro and Provigo, all of the natural health food stores in Canada. We were at Costco, and we'll be at Costco again soon, but we're at Costco.ca, and then across the U.S., similar banners. The easiest way to find the flavors you love, though, is www.lovegoodfats.com or Amazon, and then you can get all 10 flavors of bars. We just launched 2 new bars, and it's easier for you to try different options.
What's your favorite?
Oh, peanut butter chocolate is my favorite, for sure.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm sitting down with Susie York, CEO and co-founder of Love Good Fats. What is an authentic leader? In your mind, you strike me as an authentic leader, but what does that mean to you?
Well, I think authentic may be a bit different for everybody, but for me, you know, I am very open book, and I carry my emotions, I carry my passion on my sleeve. You know, I'm not a political animal. I very kind of truly want to change the world a little bit and do what's right. I know I need a lot of good input around myself. I know that I sometimes have a spark of an idea, but usually surrounding myself by a strong team will allow the spark to get, you know, to really kind of come to life. So I think I'm certainly very vulnerable, and I have no issues sharing that. And really, you know, being authentic is having the heart in the right place in the end. And I'd like to think that I have that.
What do you consider your biggest accomplishment and your biggest failure?
Certainly launching a brand at age 50, you know, with my life savings and just an idea and a little, you know, PowerPoint with a few pages on it that's become, you know, $100 million of revenue in just over 3 years. Like that's been a smashing success and been recognized with all of the awards and whatnot. There's been many, many both failures and mistakes on the way, even in the short life of the brand. We've launched flavors that haven't worked. We've launched into some categories that we're now realizing was a bit too early, too much. And we've made mistakes on the formulas and on the packaging and in the marketing mix. But overall, I think, you know, I've learned from my first job that it's really important to make mistakes and then to pause and to figure out what was the root cause, because you learn a lot more from your mistakes than not making any. You don't realize what you don't know. So,
are you an introvert or extrovert, Susie?
Well, the Myers-Briggs definition, I'm an introvert. So my source of energy is certainly all from inside. I am perplexing folks because they would think at first glance I'm an extrovert, as I, you know, I'm energetic and passionate and enjoy kind of speaking. That being said, I need my personal time, and I would to my runs and to my bikes and now to my yoga to find my energy and to recharge. So give me a yoga mat before a party any day.
During the pandemic, you were working from home. Did you find that you worked more because you were at home and there was never an escape? Did you have to kind of calm down at a certain point?
I mean, being CEO of a startup company that has, you know, just a few million dollars in the bank and has just launched in the U.S., you know, I worked like nonstop, and I had just hired my general manager, and the two of us, we literally at one point were on 11 hours of Zooms, which is insane. Like the first 3 to 6 months of the pandemic, I worked way, way, way more. And, you know, you're in front of the camera all day. So it was very, very intense. Thankfully, and I, you know, obviously was fine staying at home. And thankfully, as the pandemic dragged on, I was able to reintroduce a bit of balance and start running. And I got little rescue doggies. So I got an excuse to take a half hour and take them outside.
What book are you reading right now?
Oh, I just finished a novel, a best-selling historical novel, and now I'm just going to figure out what I'm going to read next, but I think I have a strategy book on the list.
When and where are you happiest?
Well, I'm certainly happiest when I can decompress with my family and our little doggies and be in a kind of a nice environment. So I'm looking forward to some vacation time away from work with the kids and the doggies. But that'll probably be next summer to have all of that together.
This is the CEO Series. Susie, thank you for joining us today. We also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, and our show producer, Youssef Sahone. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. À la prochaine.